friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Novak Djokovic, who won a record 23rd Grand Slam singles title at the French Open on Sunday to stand alone at the summit of men's tennis. Djokovic defeated the Norwegian Casper Ruud in the final in straight sets 7-6, 6-3, and 7-5. Afterwards, Djokovic, standing on the clay courts at Roland Garros, looked back on his boyhood days.
I was a seven-year-old dreaming that I could win Wimbledon and become number one in the world one day. As I said, I'm beyond grateful and blessed to be standing here with so many incredible achievements. But one thing is for sure. I feel that I had the power to create my own destiny. I try to visualize every single thing in my life, not only believe it, but really feel it with every cell in my body. And I just want to send a message out there to every young person. Be in the present moment. Forget about what happened in the past. Future is something that is just going to happen. But if you want a better future, you create it. Take the means in your hands. Believe it. Create it.
Novak Djokovic believed it, created it, and also thanked a few of the international football stars at the match in Paris.
I will say, last but not least, I want to thank football stars for being here. Giroud, Ibra, Mbappé, Tom Brady. I want to thank everybody for coming out and supporting. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm sorry if I missed somebody, but it's a great honor to have incredible football and sports stars.
It was truly a day of tennis history in Paris. Djokovic had been even with Rafael Nadal with 22 major titles. He went past Rafa with his third French Open title. Remember, Rafa did not play at the French Open because of injury. Djokovic won his 21st consecutive Grand Slam tournament match to become the only man to win each of the four majors, the Australian, the French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open, at least three times. Meanwhile, Ruud, the defeated finalist, paid tribute to Novak Djokovic.
Another day, another record for you, and another day you rewrite tennis history once again. It's just, you know, it's tough to explain how incredible it is and how good you are, and yeah, what an inspiration you are to so many people around the world. So congratulations to you, to your team. I know this tastes probably the best out of all, so congrats.
On the women's side in Paris, world number one and defending champion Iga Świątek of Poland won her third French Open title in the past 4 years by defeating Czech opponent Karolina Muchová. Final score from Paris, 6-2, 5-7, and 6-4. Talk to us, Iga!
I don't know, like, at first I was surprised because I saw all these matches of Karolina when she was actually, you know, coming back from a score like that. And I, before the match point, I wasn't really thinking that it's going to happen now, you know. I just played and I just gave it all. But I was like a little bit surprised that it actually happened, you know. She was always, you know, coming back. So I felt like, I don't know what I felt. It's hard to describe. But a lot of happiness, and I felt suddenly, you know, tired of these 3 weeks. Maybe my matches weren't like physically exhausting, but it's pretty hard to kind of keep your focus for this, even like almost 3 weeks, and also the whole swing, you know, because since Stuttgart I haven't been home. So I'm happy that I finished the whole clay court swing so well, and that I kind of survive, and I guess I'm never gonna kind of doubt my strength again, maybe, because of that.
That's Polish tennis star Iga Świątek, the world's number one ranked player and the 2023 French Open champion. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. In European club football, Manchester City lifted its first UEFA Champions League trophy over the weekend in Istanbul, Turkey. Prince Nesta has reaction from Man City's manager and some of its players, as well as European transfer news. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Manchester City won their first Champions League title by beating Inter Milan by a 2-0 in a match that was played at Istanbul's Atatürk Olympic Stadium. Spanish midfielder Rodri scored the sole goal in the 68th minute to help the Premier League champions and FA Cup winners become only the second English team to complete the treble. The Nerazzurri displayed their vintage defensive display, managing to keep Norwegian Benjamin Erling Haaland from finding the back of the net, but the citizens still had enough to edge out the Italian opponents. The Norwegian hitman, scorer of 52 goals this season, shared his thoughts on the match.
I cried for the first time in a really long time today because, yeah, as everyone knows, this is my biggest dream and I did it, so it's unbelievable. Now it's so tired, so happy, and yeah. You can see around, everyone is smiling, and it's the first time for this club, and hopefully first of many. First of all my fans, the support I've been having throughout the whole season has been unreal.
Match winner Rodri also assessed his team's performance.
I'm emotional, I mean, this is a dream come true. All these guys deserve, all these guys around here waiting, I don't know how many years, 20, 30, 40. I've been here just 4 years, but they deserve, we deserve. The last years we were so close. At the end I said, when you go to this moments, finals, semi-finals, at the end God gives you this present. It's unbelievable, it's a dream for all of us. I just want to thank you everyone. It wasn't easy, I mean, what a team we face. Unbelievable, the way they defend, the way they counter-attack. They deserve also credit because they are a great team. But I don't want to forget about my lads. I mean, we give everything.
The second treble for City boss Pep Guardiola, who had previously won with Barcelona during the 2008-2009 season. The 52-year-old manager who carved his name into history by becoming the first ever manager to win two European trebles in the men's game shared his thoughts on the match.
Looks like this competition this year, this final, was written in the stars, because I will not confuse for the fact how happy I am, but at the same time, they could score at the end, the goal, the chances they had is safe. You go an extra time and you can lose the game. And I will be the same person, we will be the same team, we will be the same club. Today was our year, but in the past, don't do it. Of course, very incredibly satisfied for the something unique, the travel for this club. And the feeling that I have right now is a win in the Champions League. Give credit for the 5 Premier Leagues. In 7 years, the 2 FA Cups, 4 Carabao Cups, Community Shields, that give personality a credit what you have done. You have to win the Europe to be considered one of the really, really good team. And we did it. Suffering, we could not expect differently because Inter is an exceptional team. Physicality, the patterns they do. But sometimes you need this type of luck that in the past, against Tottenham, against other games, against... Finally, even with Chelsea, that we didn't have it. So today we have it.
Inter Milan wingback Denzel Dumfries expressed disappointment on Inter losing the Champions League final.
Of course, we are close tonight. At the moment, it's difficult, of course. Your feelings go up and down. It's difficult to lose a final, especially if you see the game tonight, the chances we create. But it was not for us, and they won. They had a great season, very stable. They have great players, but tonight we showed who was Inter and what we are capable of. I think out of 10, 9 times he was scored, and now the goalkeeper saved it. But at the end, we win together, we lose together. I'm very proud of the team, I'm very proud of every player, because we put 100%. We are brave today, we played compact, we played good. And at the end, it's difficult.
Inter Milan coach Simeone Inzaghi also shared his thoughts on the match.
Well, you can hold your heads up high. You were almost there. You were always in the game. So what's the greatest regret? Well, it's we do have regrets, because a defeat is the worst thing in sport. But at the same time, I had to congratulate my lads. They were clearly sad. I'm very disappointed, but they must be proud of their campaign and of the final they played.
Inter Milan boss Simeone Inzaghi, after his team's loss against Manchester City in the UEFA Champions League final played in Istanbul. Moving on to the summer football transfer window, Guinean international midfielder Naby Keita is set to join German Bundesliga side Werder Bremen upon the expiration of his contract with Liverpool this summer. The 28-year-old scored 11 goals in 129 appearances for the Reds. He also won the Premier League, Champions League, Club World Cup, FA Cup and EFL Cup in his five-year spell in England. The Reds on their part have also announced the signing of Argentine international midfielder Alexis McAllister from Brighton. Aston Villa have also agreed a deal to sign Belgian midfielder Youri Tielemans from Leicester City. The 26-year-old agreed to join the club after previously being linked with Arsenal in Manchester United. He joined the Foxes in 2019, scoring 28 goals in 195 appearances across all competitions. Spanish footballer Brahim Diaz will also be returning to Real Madrid after spending 3 seasons on loan at AC Milan. The 23-year-old helped the Rossoneri secure their Serie A title in 2022 and also reached the Champions League semi-finals this season. He rejoins the Los Blancos, who still need to replace the loss of French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema, who decided to join Saudi Arabian club Al Ittihad this summer. This is the third arrival at Real this month, following the arrival of highly rated England midfielder Jude Bellingham for a reported initial fee of $110 million. The versatile 19-year-old played 132 games for Bundesliga side Borussia Dortmund, scoring 24 goals and winning the 2021 German Cup. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. For more reaction to Man City winning the UEFA Champions League title, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
Manchester City's achievement was a culmination of the kind of fantastic season they have had. Like we've said on the Sunny Side of Sports, this team are a team of fantastic individuals, brilliant coach in Pep Guardiola, and talents that are on top of their game at the moment. And throughout the course of this 2022-2023 season, they've consistently showed that they are one of the best teams ever assembled in world football. Going into that final on Saturday night in Istanbul, they were the odds-on favorites to win the title, but it was a little bit more difficult than many expected, because, of course, it's a final and everyone wants it. But you see, still give them the kudos, even in adverse conditions, especially when they lost their talismanic midfielder, Kevin De Bruyne, to injury in the first half. They still found a way around it and were able to get the lone goal from that midfielder that scores big goals for them, Rodrigo, the Spanish international, in the second half. And the rest is history. This team will go down in history as one of the most complete ball-playing sides. They score goals with reckless abandon. Erling Haaland remains the highest goal scorer in Europe. And they also don't concede many. Throughout the course of this Champions League campaign, they conceded just 5 goals. And these are some of the key attributes of a successful football side. Difficult to break down and, of course, difficult to stop from scoring. So a huge congratulations to this team from Manchester. The first time ever in the club's history that they are going to win in the UEFA Champions League. And after about 7 years in charge of the club, Pep Guardiola eventually delivers the Holy Grail for the citizens.
Some football analysts think that Inter Milan showed much respect to Man City and it cost them the game. Your reaction to this?
I do think that teams in some way respect themselves because it is a final. It is a one-off affair. You do not have any second leg anywhere to make amends on whatever it is. So it is always expected in finals like this for players to do their best, to be a little bit casual in their approach. And going into the game, not many actually thought that Inter Milan could even do as much as they did in the game. Yes, I expected the head coach, Simone Inzaghi, to line out his 3-5-2 formation, to stifle City in the attacking areas, so for some midfield solidity, and then to try to arm them on the break. And that's specifically what they tried to do. And if not for wasting a couple of chances, perhaps the game could have even been stretched to extra time. So I do not particularly that it was a case of Inter respecting their opponent, but it's a case of both sets of players knowing fully well that their destiny lies on the pitch of Istanbul that night, and then the guys did whatever they could to ensure that they minimize mistakes. Even at that, we still saw a few mistakes here and there, and that's why in the end, Manchester City were made to work for their title. It's not just as straightforward as many people thought going into the game, because City have taken top teams of the world, of Europe, to clean us before that final. So how much more the underdogs like Inter Milan? But I think the Italians did give us a good show. And every neutral will be quite happy with what was on parade on Saturday night.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. In African athletics, it was a day of high drama at the 2023 Comrades Marathon in South Africa. The world's oldest and biggest ultramarathon delivered bounds of entertainment as records were broken in both the men's and women's races. Defending men's champion Tete Dejana claimed back-to-back victories with a well-timed run, while Herta Steyn proved exactly why she is regarded among the best ultra athletes in the world, dominating the women's race from start to finish. Myron Nika reports from Durban.
The energy in the air was palpable as the just over 17,000 strong field lined up in the city of Pietermaritzburg. It was a bitterly cold winter morning, but athletes were ready to bring the heat along the 89-kilometer route down to the coastal city of Durban. In the men's race, Japanese sensation the blue-haired Joe Fukuda took an early lead, but was hunted down by a pack that included Tete Dejana and Dutch novice Piet Visma. With 20 kilometers to go, Dejana broke away, opening up a small gap, but Visma refused to let him out of his sight. In a frantic dash for the finish, Dejana kept looking over his shoulder but managed to keep his composure to set a new down-run record in a time of 5:13.58. This humble runner, who still works a day job as a private security officer, is now a double champion. He could only celebrate being champion for 9 months after last year's Comrades was pushed to August due to the COVID-19 pandemic. When asked if that motivated him, he offered this light-hearted response.
Yes, because I felt that I was cheated. Remember, everyone was called a champ for 12 months. Myself, I was called champ 9 months. So no, no, there's no way I should go and defend my title.
The women's race was won by the darling of South African road running. Gerda Steyn, who won the Two Oceans Marathon in Cape Town earlier this year, was the favorite to win this year's Comrades. She controlled the race from the 30-kilometer mark, breaking free of the lead bunch. She smiled and waved to the crowd as she approached the finish, knowing that a course record was within sight. Steyn raced to the tape, beating Frith van der Merwe's 34-year-old record. In the build-up, Steyn was asked many times about whether she would target the record. She remained modest in all her responses, letting her feet do the talking on race day.
I didn't want to talk too much about the record. I didn't want it to phase me from my main goal of winning the race. You can't think about these times. But of course, I wanted to bring, I wanted to produce the best result that I can produce as an athlete. And that meant today it was the record and it went according to plan. And for that, I'm very, very grateful.
While the elites provided the entertainment up front, there was still plenty of drama to come as the clock edged towards the 12-hour cutoff. Thousands pushed their bodies to the max to reach the finish at the Kingsmead Cricket Stadium. As the gun went up to signal the end, more drama was about to unfold. In true comrade spirit, two complete strangers who came together with 9 kilometers to go raised the roof inside the stadium. Simpiwe Dludla was down, but experienced finisher JP Snyman put his arm around her, dragging her on. The clock ticked, but they persevered. Cheered on by thousands, Dludla crossed the line as the last official finisher on the day, with just seconds before the cutoff gun went off.
My friend JP said I need a shoulder to cry on, so we move up to this farm. So I'm so happy. I didn't know that I would break a record. Of being the last person in Comrade. Thank you so much, my friend. God bless you.
Steyn and Dijana walked away with $6,500 each for their record-breaking efforts. The jubilant scenes for both the top runners and amateurs are what makes this race so great. It's why thousands of athletes make the trip to South Africa every year. The running pilgrimage between these two cities in the province of KwaZulu-Natal continues to set the standard for ultra-marathon running.
Now, as runners united at the Comrades Marathon, South African football is mourning the death of one of its most famous sons. Former national coach Clive Barker passed away last Friday at the age of 78 after a long battle with Lewy body dementia. Barker is South Africa's most successful national coach, guiding the team to the Africa Cup of Nations title in 1996. Sending condolences from Washington, Myron.
Thanks very much, Sonny. It is a sad time indeed for football fans from around the country and continent. Barker is hailed as a hero for his nation-building efforts as South Africa entered democracy. Born and raised in Durban, Barker played for clubs like Durban City and Durban United before a knee injury curtailed his career. He swiftly moved on to coaching, earning immediate success. He won titles at club level before landing the role of coach of Bafana Bafana. When South Africa hosted AFCON 1996, former President Nelson Mandela made a humble appeal to Barker, as former National and Columbus Crew player Dr. Khumalo shared on South African television.
I'm not the only individual that he shaped. He shaped the whole country. He put a smile to all South Africans. So what he has done, it's a message that we was given by the former president, may his soul rest in peace, Madiba. Clive, unite the nation, because the rugby guys have done it. It's your turn. And it's exactly what he did. This man told us in 95 that he's going to win 96 AFCON, that he's going to qualify for France 98. And it's exactly what it happened. May his soul rest in peace. We've lost a hero. We have lost a father, a mentor.
South Africa beat Tunisia 2-0, sparking euphoria around the country. Barker's famous airplane celebrations on the touchline was a reflection of his bubbly character. His nephew, Steve Barker, now the coach of Top Flight South African club Stellenbosch FC, fondly remembers his late uncle.
My fondest memory, I think like all South Africans, continues to remain when we won the AFCON and the celebration that Clive done. I think it just showed exactly who he was and the joy that he showed that day, I think, will last in our memories forever. You know, he was very player-centered. You know, he wanted players to enjoy the game. He made them feel, you know, like they owned the game. He made them feel special. He took care of the person. I think he just wanted players to go out and express themselves and gave them real confidence and real belief in themselves.
After winning AFCON, Barker's next target was to qualify South Africa for the FIFA World Cup in 1998. That he did. But then a poor run of results saw him sacked before the tournament got underway in France. Neil Tovey, who captained South Africa's AFCON winning team, shared insight on his approach.
He was unique to South African football in his way he coached the team. He made the team feel very, very, very welcome. And he was a player's coach. They loved to come to training and they loved to play the game. And that ultimately made such a happy camp.
Tovey said Barker's man management skills were second to none. Post 1996, a number of his players landed top deals in Europe. In fact, Barker remains the only national coach to pick a team of completely overseas-based South African footballers.
Whatever he touched turned to gold. Very, very unique man, which had loads and loads of time and brought the best about in each individual in whatever they were very, very good at. He didn't ask Dr. Kamala to tackle like Linda Buthelezi or for Linda Buthelezi to dribble like Dr. Kamala. He made them feel special in their own right and in their own quality, and that was a very, very unique talent that brought the blend of that 1996 team together, and it was a complete travesty of justice when he didn't take the team to the 1998 World Cup.
Tributes from around the world have poured in for Barker, who remains South Africa's most successful coach. He'll be laid to rest this week. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. Elsewhere in African football, there were big celebrations in Cairo overnight after the Egyptian club Al Ahly won a record-extending 11th CAF Champions League title in Casablanca, Morocco. In a repeat of the 2022 CAF Champions League final, Al Ahly rallied from a goal down to draw with Wydad Athletic Club of Morocco 1-1. Egyptian international Mohamed Abdelmonem of Al Ahly made a brilliant run to the near post and flicked home the equalizer off a 78th-minute header. The Red Devils of Al Ahly won the tie on a 3-2 aggregate, having recorded a 2-1 victory at home in the first leg in Cairo last weekend. It was sweet revenge for Al Ahly, which lost the title to Wydad last year 2-0 in a single-leg final at the same venue. With the victory, Al Ahly also secured a place at the FIFA Club World Cup, which will be played in Saudi Arabia later this year. The victory also comes after the proud Egyptian sports club won its inaugural Basketball Africa League title last month in Kigali, Rwanda. So, Al Ahly of Egypt, the 2023 CAF Champions League winner and the 2023 Basketball Africa League champion. And speaking of basketball, the Denver Nuggets will aim for their first National Basketball Association title later Monday night when they host the Miami Heat. The Nuggets have a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals and will be looking to beat the Heat to lift the trophy. And that wraps up the June 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.